Welcome or welcome back to It's Trinity's podcast. I'm Trinity.
And I'm Alicia.
And this month we're celebrating women in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And today we're interviewing and celebrating Mrs. Jan Tennyson, founder of the Dare to Dream Children's Foundation. Not only did she create this great foundation to help at-risk kids, but she is also an award-winning inspirational speaker, pianist, and choreographer, and author of the book She Dares to Dream. I'm sure the listeners would like to hear more about your book and where to purchase a copy, but before we can get to that, can we talk a little bit about your young life?
Absolutely, I'd be delighted.
Great. And welcome to the show, Miss Jan. We are so glad that you're here today.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Wonderful. All right. So what's your first question, Trinity?
My first question is, Miss Jan, your childhood sounds so sad. You were left alone by your parents as a baby, and because they drank a lot of alcohol, the police had to take you to foster care. How old were you when you realized your life looked different from the other kids you knew?
Well, since I've been in foster care since infancy, I thought that's what you're supposed to do. But needless to say, when I was in school, in grammar school, I could find that the kids knew that I was different. My haircuts were different. My clothing was not, you know, the latest. And they knew that we were in a very strict home because we really weren't allowed to socialize very much. So you just did feel different. And sometimes I still feel that way. Feel like, you know, you're just a different person. You know, you're not like everybody. But you know what? That's really good in a way, because we can shine the way God wants us to shine.
That's right. And that's what makes you special.
In one of the few foster homes you have lived in, you were taught to play the piano. So you used the steps of your house as a stage. That was good practice for you, because you eventually ended up playing in the Carnegie Hall. My mom tells me that is where only the world's finest play. Did that lead to any other special opportunities for you?
Well, at the time I was only 7 years old, and so I wasn't really thinking of where else I'm going to go, and you didn't really have a promoter or a marketing person in your life back then. It wasn't that way, at least if you were in foster home. I think if I was Trinity instead of Jan Tennyson at the time, I probably could have been on lots of television shows and many things. I did eventually go on some other radio and television shows, but I don't know that they even knew that I played in Carnegie Hall. That was because I took lessons at the Brooklyn Conservatory of Music, and that's where they had their concerts at the end of the year. And so I got to be the opening performer in Carnegie Hall.
Wow, that's amazing. And about how old were you, do you know?
About 7.
Wow, that's amazing.
Did you ever hear from the neighborhood kids you used to play for?
Not really, because in our foster home, we really weren't allowed to socialize. I was actually forced to practice 3 hours a day, whether I liked it or not, and I didn't. And I would see lots of children outside playing jump rope and things like that, which I don't think you do today. But I just didn't have a lot of social opportunities when I would be inviting some of the neighborhood kids to come to the street, come to our stoop at our house. That was my stage. And I would be trying to bring out their star quality. Could you sing a poem? Could you sing a song? Would you recite a poem? Would you do a dance? And even as a little child, I was trying to instill talents and gifts and find out what they were and encourage them to take those further than just the stage on the stoop.
Wow. Can you imagine doing 3 hours of practice on anything?
So last year in fourth grade, I played the flute. I was not good at it, so no.
But it does take practice. It really, really does. And I'm really glad today that I was asked to do that, because I've managed to take music around the world. Wherever I've spoken or wherever I've visited, I always would have a little keyboard or some sort of music, because it is an international language. And I highly encourage you and others to learn some instrument or some talent that you can be proud of, and it will do you well.
I want to hear you play.
You went on to win a contest in 1987 that allowed you to create Dare to Dream for at-risk youth. This foundation was for kids around my age or older, right?
Yes, that's correct.
How would you describe at-risk?
At-risk were young people who had made some big mistakes. Not all of them. Some of them, they were just victims of having families that weren't taking good care of them, or they had alcohol problems in the family, and the child would end it in a shelter or in a detention center because they made some very big mistakes. And I look at them the way Jesus looks at them, that they have potential. These are just people that are in a struggling situation, but the best is yet to come if you try to do it God's way. So that's why Dare to Dream steps in and encourages them to know that there's a loving God that's never going to leave them or forsake them, and that they do have a future and a promise of tomorrow.
Oh, that's so encouraging.
It has been 35 years now. About how many lives do you think Dare to Dream Children's Foundation has touched or saved in that time?
Well, if I tried to look at the numbers in the United States and then tried to see overseas, I couldn't tell you how many lives have been touched, because there's been many. And what my dream is that the seeds that were planted in the hearts of those young people, that they'll plant seeds in somebody else's heart, because it's like a ripple effect. It just goes on and on and on. That's why encouragement is such a powerful tool.
It really is. I really do believe that.
Do many of the kids you've helped in the past stay in touch with you?
That's something that I wish would happen, but because of the nature of most of them, they don't have families. They're kind of going from place to place. Very seldom do I hear. However, I did have one envelope that appeared in my mailbox at the Dare to Dream office here in Dallas, and it was a boy that was in a detention center, and he said, you know, Miss Jan, you promised that if I got out of this detention center and got not my GED, but my high school diploma, that you would give me an autographed copy of your autobiography, She Dares to Dream. And so he said, well, I've accomplished all the things that you asked me to do. I've graduated. And he put his graduation diploma and my card in the envelope. It was a copy of the diploma and the business card that I had that I gave him and told him to come. And a picture of him in his cap and gown. And that was like one in a million. There's like not a lot of young people come back and say thank you or show you that respect, but he did. And I tried to get in touch, but again, the telephone numbers change, and it's hard to stay in touch with young people that have struggled so hard, so deeply, because they don't really know that the attitude of gratitude will take them far in this world. And people that have helped them when they're struggling are certainly going to want to know them later on as well. So that's always something I'm saying, you know, contact me if you need help, or contact me if there's something I can do to encourage you. And that's, you know, truly what Dare to Dream does.
That's beautiful. My goodness.
Where do you see the Dare to Dream Children's Foundation going in the next 35 years?
Well, if we have 35 years on this planet, I would love to see Dare to Dream have a volunteer force as well as leadership in place that would be able to take it far beyond what Jan Tennyson has ever done. It has been 35 years. I started it on a card table in my bedroom without a penny in my pocket and wanted to have donated office space because I said, if I went out and raised money, then it looks like Jan's doing it. I wanted it to be that God was doing it, that it was his idea, not my idea. So if I could find a donated space during a very difficult time in Dallas, then I could say, okay, I have permission to go forward. So I did. I ended up with over 2,000 square feet of donated space for 7 years. That was the first 7 years.
Wow.
Well, we knew that I had gotten permission to go ahead.
That's beautiful. Well,
I've got so many stories I'd love to tell you, but they're in the book.
Yes, and that's where we're going to go. We're going to discuss that. But I just want you to know that, you know, when Trinity and I ran into you, I really just saw you as someone so valuable to not only the city of Dallas and the state of Texas, but to all over the world, and hearing such a heartwarming and beautiful story. And I hope that when this pandemic is over, that, you know, that you're celebrated. And I know that you've received, you know, many awards and you have been, just, you know, acknowledged in your plight in trying to rescue the at-risk youth. But I do think that you deserve to be celebrated and applauded, because you have done so many things for our community that is great, and you know, definitely it's not just you. I know that this is something that God put on your heart, that this was going to be your gift that you could provide, that God had bestowed upon you. So thank you for all that you are and all that you've done and accomplished in your life, because you are such a gift. And that's just for me and Trinity. I mean, we recognize you as a gift. So thank you. But I know, you know, because you're such a great speaker, and, you know, just for our listeners, Miss Jan is an inspirational speaker. Once again, she's got a book, She Dares to Dream. And I just want to see, Miss Jan, if you have a message for our listeners that can encourage them today.
Yes, I really am so grateful, first of all, to be invited and to meet the two of you, a mother and daughter act that it's hard to follow. And I'm looking forward to when Trinity does have a TV show, because she's going to be great. And I'll help her any way that I can. But as far as the listening audience is concerned, just, it doesn't matter where you come from or what your story is that matters. It matters at the end of the journey, you can say that the Lord would say, well done, good and faithful servant. But most of all, too, that you can look back and you can look at the people that their lives were transformed because God used you to be able to encourage others, mm-hmm. and to be able to teach principles and characteristics that they just wouldn't have or wouldn't even know about. So I honestly know that if somebody is out there who says, well, I just don't think I'm going to make it, I know that there's the script that says, with God, all things are possible. Mm-hmm. So if you put God in your heart and let him lead the way, you can't be beaten. You will be out there, you'll be doing things, and you'll be surprising yourself. When I look at myself as an infant in Greenwich Village, New York, who was pretty much abandoned because of the alcoholism in my family, and ending up in the New York Family Home as just a small child, little did I think that I would be playing the keyboard on the top of the Zugspitz in Germany, or being in the White House with at-risk youth, taking them through the Christmas White House when you were allowed to do that.
Wow.
Or taking children on a yacht down in Fort Lauderdale and saying, this is a dream boat, and we're going to talk about our dreams and our gifts that God's given us. And I love to take people who never ever dreamed that they would have a future and just watch them and pray for them and encourage them.
I love all of that.
You can do it. I get very excited about encouraging people and being able to speak and to to watch what that means to them. And it's God's gift. It's nothing that I could have ever gone to school to learn.
Absolutely. When God gives you, when he speaks into your life and he sets your path there, it's just unbelievable, you know, where that will take you. And clearly it's taken you so far. And, you know, I want to encourage our listeners to go to the link. The link is www.daretodream-dallas.org. And go on the website and you'll find the information some of the information that we've provided here about Miss Jan's life. And Miss Jan, can you tell us a little bit more about your book, She Dares to Dream? Where can we find that? And definitely, you know, we want to encourage our listeners to purchase a copy of that.
Well, we use it as a fundraiser, and you can purchase it if you have become as a speaker. They will be available, and I will make autographed copies for whoever would like to buy them. We sell them for $20 each, plus postage if they buy it on the website. But our Dare to Dream website, www.daretodream-dallas.org, and under autobiography, you can just click that link, and then you can buy one on board, and it will be online, and it will be sent to you. So you have the opportunity to donate through PayPal, and we appreciate everything because there's so much we want to do. Yes. Maybe someday in 35 years from now, maybe there'll be a Dare to Dream Academy where they'll have a chapter, wow, all kinds of basketball and all kinds of activities, and young people who can really have their lives enriched while they're crossing that path from foster childhood or a shelter to another level of life, crossing the bridge, the Dare to Dream bridge, and really having a future and a purpose.
I just love listening to you. I just want to encourage the listeners that, you know, we're coming up on graduation season. We're already in March, so the graduations will be coming up here soon. And so if you really want to hear more inspirational stories from Miss Jan, I would encourage you to invite her to speak at your functions and just receive that message of hope and inspiration from her, because I can't even tell you, just from really doing the research, you know, prior to the podcast, that my heart was just so touched and enlightened and inspired by her, you know, because it doesn't matter where you come from, but God has a plan for where you're going. So I'm just so enamored by her. So thank you, Miss Jan, for joining us today. What do you think, Trinity? Did you enjoy this interview?
Yes.
I thought it was great.
One last comment I want to say is that a great States lady made the comment that the future belongs only to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams. So never give up and put God first in your life.
Amen. Well, you want to close out the show, Trinity?
Yes. So if you listen to my last episode where we interviewed my uncle and aunt, you would know that my podcast Instagram got shut down. So go follow me at its_trinities_world for more information.
And that's where we'll be posting the links for this podcast and all of the others that we've done in the past. We'll also be providing the website for Dare to Dream website. And also we'll share more information about She Dares to Dream, the book by Miss Jan Tennyson. And any information that you want to, that you need from us that we can provide on how to reach her, then we will definitely get that over to you. And you can find us on any of the podcast platforms, Anchor, Spotify, and all the other locations that you listen to your podcasts
on.
And
follow us on TikTok.
And follow us on TikTok, because now we have a TikTok page as well, right?
Yeah.
It's Trinity's Podcast. Thank you so much, Miss Jan, for joining us. And we are going to see everyone, or you, everyone can hear us when we post another podcast again. Thanks, everybody.
And wear your mask.
Oh, yeah. Keep wearing the mask, folks, in Dallas and in all of Texas. Let's just keep Texas safe. We love you guys.
And if you want coronavirus to end, just wear the mask.
That's right. We're doing what we can to save other people.